Lions Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 28, 2014. I just discovered that. Correction, folks, today's date is May 29th. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also, please. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And if you're one of the 15% of the people out there that do not use the internet that I hear, you're more than welcome just to call me. If you're listening on radio, you can call me for any kind of question about our guests or addresses, how to donate, any of those things. You can simply just call me for those instead of happen to go on the internet. Anyway, we'll have a prayer and then we'll bring on tonight's special guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily our guest's will, but your will, Father. So please give us all ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is a Holocaust survivor. Her name is Anita Dickman, and she learned about fear and courage during a momentous period in history. She says, I was 5 and a half when Hitler came. She says, my mother said, we'll have to register. I asked her, well, what about me? She told me I'd have to register as a Jew. Thank God, I told her, I wanted to be identified that way, even as a child. That was in 1933. Within 18 months, Dickman would become something of an oddity in her Jewish community, a believer in Jesus Christ. Dittman's father, a German Jew, abandoned his family in the interest of self-survival. So Dittman and her mother not only were forced to scramble for basic sustenance, they had to survive malevolent forces sweeping through her country. It was the young Anita's newfound faith that sustained her, which she outlines in her book, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. A young Jewish girl discovers the Messiah's faithfulness in the midst of the Holocaust. There is a co-author of the book, and her name is Jan Markle. But we're going to be talking to Anita tonight. This story, though, is not one of time gone by, but stands as what I think is a warning that could happen again and could even happen right here in America. Welcome now, Anita. Are you there with me, Anita?
Yes, I am listening.
Well,
can you hear me well?
Oh, I can hear you real well, and you sound wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I'm really joy to have you on. There are Holocaust survivors out there, and they're getting fewer in number all the time. But what makes your story special is that you're a blood Jew, and that makes but you're a believer in Yeshua or Christ. And that makes you accept your story different as you went through the Holocaust.
That's true. You know, I have heard many people say that. Even young kids have come to me and said, you know, we've heard Holocaust survivors before, but yours is different because you believe in Jesus.
Oh, yes. Amen. I read your book, and that... Even in the worst of the trouble, and this stands as such a strong witness for today, when you're in the midst of the worst part of the trouble, whether it was your leg injury or other things that we'll go into, Jesus just lifted you up and, you know,
yes.
Your faith stood strong.
Yeah, I look back at it. Excuse me, I get a little choked up when I talk about the love of Jesus for me, because I always feel, you know, we're such unworthy little kids, and yet he loves us so much. And yet, you're right, in the worst situations, Christ was always with me. And there are times when, I mean, it seemed almost impossible that things would change, but he was with me.
Well, amen.
I love him for that, and he has never left me, and I've never doubted him, even in the worst situations. I've always prayed, Lord, let me be faithful in my faith, and help me to not ever doubt you and strengthen my faith. That's all I could do.
Well,
and
amen.
He has given me that faith.
Well, first off, let's go with this. We're talking about Yeshua Jesus. When did you become saved? I mean, do you have a recollection of that?
Yes, I very much so. I had some playmates that lived in the same building, and they didn't mind to let their Aryan children play with me. They were kind to me, and we played together. And one day they said to me, why don't you go to church with us? And so I asked my mom. And she said, yeah, go ahead. I give her a lot of credit because she was not a believer then, and yet mm-hmm. she wanted me to do what I wanted to do. And I went there regularly, but then at a moment when I needed it so much, I was about 7 years old or so. It was Easter, and my friends said, why don't you come and have an Easter service with us? It's beautiful. And I said, sure. And their parents came too. And I'd been in that church many times with them, but that morning it was different. And I remember I was sitting there watching the sun shining through the stained glass windows, the windows that depicted Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection. And it was so different that morning. And the windows, you know, especially Christ, was so illuminated in those windows. And it was almost like he stepped out of there. I mean, not literally, but it was like it.
Right.
And I felt a beautiful security inside of me. And he, you know, I didn't hear him talk, but I had this feeling, remembering what he was like and what he did with people. I felt that he will always be with me, and I want to believe in him. And I prayed silently while the service was going on. And I said, Lord, please stay with me forever, and I will abide with you too. And that's when it came. And I felt an inward peace, even in the midst of all this horrible things that were going on, and the fears and everything that they, you know, they it was horrible.
Right.
It was so frightening. But God gave me that peace to endure. And I remember going home with my friends and being so happy inside and so free of all worry, and it was beautiful. It wasn't a child's imagination, but when I got home, my mother and my older sister were not ready for that yet. They just shook their heads, and my mother smiled, and she says, well, you know, we know you have a wonderful imagination. It's just a childish fantasy. It'll pass. And I said, no, Mom, I don't want it to pass. It's real. And so when I talked to my friends afterwards, they said, what am I going to do? They think I'm just an imaginative little kid. She said, nothing you can do. Take him, hand them over to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to enlighten them and to bring them into his sheepfold. And I did that. It happened many, many years later, not until I was 11. But during those years, Christ sustained me, and many times it got to a point with the life that we had to live that we couldn't even sometimes trust our own kin.
Right.
I could trust my mother and my sister, but beyond that, I was told, you know, don't trust anybody, but I could trust Jesus. I knew that. And he would listen to me when I talked to him, too. And it was beautiful.
Amen.
I felt a security that I never felt during all those first 5.5 years when we lived in splendor. This was not a material security. This was a spiritual security.
Amen. A couple of things I want to say. First off, for you telling your story, you really brought the emotion up in me and really brought tears to my eyes. And so, you know, I didn't hear you.
Could you repeat that?
What I said was, I'm sorry. See, I'm talking low because I almost lost my voice. I came to tears hearing your story, and it really brought the emotion up in me and therefore made my voice lower. But that's a wonderful story because those of us that accept Yeshua, Jesus, in that moment, we are changed, and we know it, and it is a spiritual thing. And so that's just so wonderful. Well, Anita, your book is, like I say, you're a Holocaust survivor, and so take us into that. When was your first realization of, Hitler? I mean, was it just like all of a sudden you realized he was bad, or take us into that from your life?
I want to mention a few incidences. I was in ballet. You probably remember reading that. And I was dancing my first solo dance. And by a teacher, and I, we practiced. And when I got on stage, I saw a big audience. And they were all, you know, focusing on me. And when Hitler came to power, my mother said, you know, keep your head down. Don't attract attention. And if they beat you up or something, don't retaliate and this and that. And anyway, here they were all focusing me. And when the music started, I was totally oblivious to my surrounding. And I danced and I danced and I was just in my glory, the music and everything. And when the dance ended and I bowed, I couldn't believe my ears. They were applauding and applauding. And I thought, wow. And I thought, well, this is what my teacher had promised me. She used to be a prima ballerina when she was young. And she said, it's a wonderful life. And she added to it and she said, people will literally worship you. Well, I didn't know much what that meant, but that night I slept with my ballet slippers under my pillow, and I had wonderful dreams, and I knew this is the beginning of this wonderful life my teacher had promised me. But the next morning when I woke up, my mother had brought a newspaper into the house, that she'd found, and there was a big article on the front page of all the different dance numbers and a critique of each one. And when they had come to mind, they said, the dance was superbly performed by Anita Dittmann, far above her age. But, it said, the German people no longer want to be entertained by a Jew. And due to the fact that my father had left us early on, put us in jeopardy, and we lived in poverty, and I had no more ballet lessons. We couldn't afford it. But when I then, this incident when Christ came to my, in my life was about 2 months later. And that's when I came to realize that God did not want me to live to be worshipped. He wanted me to live to worship Him. And I came to realize also, and I teach it, I mean, when I'm speaking, I emphasize this, especially when I speak to young people. Yes, well, it's wonderful, and it would have been very nice. But God has a unique way of scooping up all the shattered fragments of our hopes and dreams and mold them into a plan of His own, and a plan vastly different from ours, but much more conducive to our spiritual growth. And that's what happened to me.
Yeah,
and
amen.
I was glad then later that I was not living to be glorified by people. I live to be glorified the Lord. And when I speak, I don't speak for myself. I speak to glorify God. And also in a remembrance of all the thousands, millions of Jews that were slaughtered by the Nazis, and among them were many of my relatives and friends.
Well, amen. Again, you did it. You brought the emotion up in me. Yeah, absolutely. Your whole story is like that. even about your leg and the different things of how a situation to a non-believer you would just, you know, we'd feel so down about it and everything. But you turn it around and you shine God's loving light on it and how it affected your life, just like this. You know, you didn't want to be worshipped. I don't want to be worshipped. But you used the incident of it and just proved how God's love for you just come completely through. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Very true.
So that was your first recollection of Hitler. How long after that
The Hitler era lasted 12 and a half years, and this was just the beginning. And I noticed it already sometimes in the neighborhood. I mean, most of the kids were nice. I was kind of a happy-go-lucky kid, and kids enjoyed my company, and I enjoyed them. But there were some that were nasty, too, and they would beat me up. And I remember once I was standing outside waiting for a couple of friends to come, and instead six older girls came out, surrounded me, and beat me with their fists. And when I started to cry, they started to laugh, and they said, "Go home, Jew brat," they said, "and don't you ever think you can hit us back, because if you do, we're going to see to it that Junior Mother would go to prison." And they could have. They could have done that, because Hitler not only encouraged but demanded of the youngest of the young that had joined his Hitler organization, he demanded they would turn in even their own parents if they heard any kind of Nazi sentiment. Yeah, it got, and that was right. That was just the beginning.
Well, you know, I'm on another man's program, and I read the news articles, and there was a news article that I read today that reflects some of that, and it kind of shocked us. It was Michelle Obama now instructing young people to watch their parents and their grandparents and people at the dinner table in case they might say something racist or wrong, and that they should attack them on it and report it. That's a parallel?
Yeah, it is. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah,
35 years ago, when I started out to speak, when my ministry started, and thanks to Jan Markell, who was willing to write the book, I gave her all the details, and she then went on to write it, and she's done a beautiful job. I have the greatest admiration for her. But, when people asked me 35 years ago, "Do you think this could ever happen here?" And I said, "No way," you know. But now I say differently. Yes, it can, and it will, if we don't watch out.
Yeah, absolutely. More and more every day I see our freedoms being, you know, whittled away like that, and it's completely shocking. Well, we got probably about another 4 minutes before the break, so take us into some more of it.
I want to mention to you, too, what happens here. When I first started out at speaking, I was invited to different schools. Then in 1993, when I moved up north in the Iron Range right near Brainerd, I was invited to schools right and left. Not anymore. Christian schools, yes. Secular schools, no. And I remember I had an incident, that's about 3 years ago when summer school started. I had a message on my phone machine. I was still living up north. And there was a voice, and a man said, "I'm the liaison Rogers." And he said, "I'm the liaison between the," "between the public and the schools." And he said, "I heard from some boys that had heard you someplace, and they came to him and said, 'You've got to invite this woman in fall. She's fantastic.' And he said, 'Would you come and speak to us in the fall?'" And I called him back, a kind of a phone tag, and I called him back and left a message. I said, "I would just love to come, and I feel honored. I would be very happy. But," I said, "this is a secular school. I want to tip you off that there is Jesus in my message." Well, he called me back, and he said, well, I'm sorry. Maybe you could just leave Jesus out of it and make it more of a historical sort of report. And then I had a chance to talk to him personally. I said, no, sir, I can't leave Jesus out. That would be denying my Lord, and I can't do that. He was the center of my life when I was going through the Holocaust, and he still is the center of my life, and I cannot deny him. And he said, well, I'm sorry, then you can't come and speak.
Well,
and that's the way it is. Yeah, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, you know, I read your story, and I watched it. And by the way, folks, you can also get it on DVD, and I'll tell you where to get them on in a little bit. But your story, your story is inseparable from our Savior. I don't see any way you could tell your story without him.
Yeah. No, I could never leave him out. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here to speak. Because he carried me through the worst, those horrible situations. And you probably remember the one in the air raid shelter when the Russians came and how they wouldn't touch me because I had blood and pus and everything coming out of my wounds.
Right.
And how interesting it was when my girlfriend came to see me after I had that fourth surgery. She said, oh, how can God do this? I said, God didn't. People did. But I said, I want to tell you something. I said to her, do you remember when we used to sit in the barn and we would recite Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good to them that love God and so forth? I said, all things, my friend. And I have a feeling, not knowing what lay ahead of me, I had a feeling that the Lord had his hand over me, and he knew what he was doing. And I said to my friend, you know, I had a feeling maybe someday these wounds might be my protection. And they were. 2 weeks later, the Russians came into the air raid shelter, and here they wouldn't leave. They would leave me alone. They didn't want me because I was a despicable subject, you know.
Yeah, amen.
And here,
So, yeah, your wounds saved your life. You know, and
exactly.
Anyway, folks, we're going to come back in about in a few minutes. But first of all, let me give you her website. Her website is simply, you can find it at hitlershell.com. That's hitlershell.com. Or you can go to WMD, that's worldnetdaily.com. You can get the books at either place. And I imagine the book and the DVD, you can probably also find them on Amazon. But I really strongly suggest that you go to her site, which is hitlershell.com. Hitlershell.com. It has a lot of good information over there for you to look at and links to other things, and you'll really be amazed. This is a book that you need to share with others, and it is a book of encouragement. In the midst of the Holocaust, it's a great encouraging book to let us know how you should. Jesus will carry us through those times. And so, but we'll be back in 3 minutes with more with Anita. We'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95 plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Well, June 1st, we'll start our 15th year of doing this, and so we need your help. We don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us for now coming up our 15th year that make this mission church work. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. And they're treated as family is the second. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. Then if we don't have a way to fill it, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many, and we're all folks responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Anita Dickman, and we're talking about her book, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. Are you still with us, Anita?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm excited. Our producer said that it was a really good program. He was enjoying it, and I'm really enjoying it too. Your tenacity, your encouragement that you're giving others to stand on Yeshua to carry you through. As we left, you were talking about your leg. You kind of want to recap that and go on.
Oh, yeah. You mean you want to tell me again or go? Well, what an interesting part that happened is not only was I protected from the Russian soldiers, you know, raping me, but not only that, at a moment's pause, temporarily the Russians were driven out of the city where I was hospitalized, and I kind of took a few steps with my bum leg, so to speak, and dragged my leg into the outer hall of the air raid shelter, and there in the corner, in the dim light that we had, sat a woman on a mattress and was shaking with trying profusely. And as I got closer, I noticed it was the very nurse that tried so hard to kill me. Because, you see, there was a medal for every Nazi that would kill a Jew. And she took that upon herself. And for 6 or 7 whole weeks, she would literally do her dirty work. She would permit unsanitary conditions, and that's why I finally ended up with 4 surgeries. But the doctor was wonderful. She, on the outside, she pretended to be a Nazi, but inside I know she wasn't, or she would have never operated in me in the first place. But when I limped out there and I got closer, I knew that God had sent me out there to comfort this woman, but I recognized who she was. And I said to God, but God, she was the woman that did all these horrible things. And I started telling him how stupid, because he knew that already. And then I realized that on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they're doing. And so I said, Lord, if you want me to comfort her, take my anxiety and my bitterness out of my heart and replace it with your love, Lord. Then I will be able to do it. And he did that for me. And I was able to kneel down beside this woman. And she leaned on my shoulder and she sobbed and sobbed. And between sobs, she conveyed to me that she had been raped many times. You know, I wept with her because I realized how the Lord had spared me from that. And all of a sudden, after she had, you know, cried enough, she looked at me in horror and she said, how can you love me? Didn't you realize I tried to kill you? I said, yes, I do. But Christ has helped me to forgive you. And I do forgive you for what you did. And it was a good feeling for me. You know, they said if you are forgiving somebody, it's not only the person, the recipient of the forgiveness, but the forgiver, too, is blessed.
Yeah, amen.
And from then on, I don't know what happened to her afterwards, but I was so grateful that the Lord helped me to comfort her.
Well, and, amen. Let me say something here real quick. Okay, if I can get my voice back up, you keep bringing me to wonderful tears. Folks, you realize what she just said, and that is such a testimony. By forgiving others, we also get repaired. We heal inside. We get that closure, and we get rid of that anger and hate. And it just does something, well, supernatural to us. Is that what you'd call it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, amen.
And I don't know, after that, temporarily, as the Russians had been driven out, they collected all the people that were ambulatory able, and we were taken away from the hospital to some other place. And one day, I was there maybe for a week at the most, and the doctor said, well, we pulled the tubes out, we bandaged your leg, we'll give you some bandages to take along. We need your bed, you have to go home. Well, of course, I didn't have a home. My mother was in a camp, I didn't even know whether she was still alive. There was war all around, and so I stood out there, and I didn't have a cane, and I didn't have a crutch, and I just prayed the next morning when I stood out there with my little knapsack on my back. And I looked into heaven, I said, Lord, I need you more than ever. I haven't got a cane. I haven't got a crutch. I will have to lean on you. Please, and tell me, show me where I should go and protect me as I'm going. And God did not send me on a smooth road by any means. It was several weeks. In the book, a lot of things are condensed. And so we couldn't tell everything. But
of course,
during those several weeks, the Lord was with me every step of the way. And just recently, I read something in my devotional that said, safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God. And wow, I can testify to that. It was amazing how the Lord stood by me.
Well, your whole story is amazing. And folks, you really need to get this book. And the DVD, your DVD was really wonderful. It was, you know, I started watching it, and, I felt like I was there with you. It was really, really a great testimony. So I really appreciate the fact that you did the DVD. Backtracking a little bit, would you like to talk about what it felt like when they didn't take you away right at first, but when you did get taken away to the camp, what was your feelings or experience with that?
Your camp? Well, our camp was consisting of only people who had one Aryan and one Jewish parent. And we were about the ages from age 15 to age 65. About 150 women and probably about that many men. And the men lived in an old horse stable that was filthy, and the women were housed in an old barn, a cow barn that had never been cleaned out, was just covered with a thick layer of straw, and we were given two gray blankets to lie on and one to cover, and the toilet facility for the 150 of us was an open ditch where they suspended kind of a wooden contraption over it that we could sit on. There was no doors, no cover from rain, and no privacy. And also the water facility was one faucet of cold water on the outside of the barn. So the authorities gave us little enamel pans, and we had to share that for one person to nine other women, so 10 to the pan, to one pan. We would wash, and then we'd pass it on to the next person. And we were awakened at about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was August. It was hot. We were allowed to wear shorts and shirts and heavy boots. And then they gave us, and the men would also have the same treatment, and they gave us a little enamel pot with some imitation coffee and a piece of bread, and then they loaded us up with digging equipment, picks, shovels, and spades, and marched us off. So after about an hour or so of marching over cobblestone-covered streets in the burning August sun, we came to an open field, and we were going to be digging ditches. And the ditches were about, I would say, 8 to 10 feet deep, and at least 10 feet wide, and I don't know how many kilometers long.
Really?
And they were supposed to be used for tank traps in case the Russians would come into the country. Although Hitler always claimed he was going to be winning. So we worked about 10 hours a day, and then we went home to the barn, and we stood in line for a hot supper, which was, we never knew what was swimming in there. And then afterwards, after our daily bath, so to speak, we had free time. And some of those that were Christians, we got to know each other when we were digging. We would whisper to each other. We weren't allowed to talk to each other. We would whisper about Jesus. And pretty soon we had a little group of women there, and we would sit in the corner of the barn, and we would sing hymns, and we would pray for one another, and we still had our Bibles. And it was very, really, it was enriching our life and strengthening.
Well, amen. It's really wonderful. You know, I read the part about you taking the Bible in with you, and, you know, that's just, you know, you didn't, that was a risk in itself, wasn't it, to take a Bible in?
But we didn't get caught. The Lord let us keep the Bibles. But then when winter came, that was difficult because we were moved to a different location. Our ditches had been dug. And now we were in a different camp. However, the conditions were a little bit better because we didn't live in the barn, but still was very unsanitary place. And we were divided in two groups. So then we had the winter elements to fight with. You know, it would rain, it would snow. We were working out in the forest cutting trees. And then, you see, when we marched back to the camp, we couldn't dry our clothes anywhere, so we just hung it on the post by our cot there where we slept on our straw bag. And then we had to put the wet clothes on the next morning. And our winters over there in eastern Germany, where I came from, they were similar to the winters here in America, in Minnesota. Right.
Well,
so you can imagine what it was like.
Yeah,
it was tough,
horrific, to say the word. You know, knowing that, and of course you knew about the. I mean, in the camp, you knew that others were being put to death. That you were lucky, so to speak, that you weren't being, you know, taken to a worse place.
About halfway through the time there, when I'm getting closer to being done with the work in the woods, we're still working there. We were told that when everything was done, when our work was completed, we're going to be shipped to Auschwitz to be cremated. So no matter how head lice crawled on our heads, no matter how cold it was, and no matter how horrible the food was, we just thank God we were not in Auschwitz yet.
Yeah, amen. Well, really, one thing that I want to ask you about that was sent to me, and then, you know, you can take a couple of minutes with it, or, you know, and we've got a few minutes for us on that. But I was sent this that I was told that you were upset and had nightmares after you saw the 2008 campaign images of Barack Obama with halos around his head.
Yes, I did.
How did that affect you? Why did that affect you?
Well, it kind of brought back memories, because when he spoke, I don't know, when he would raise his voice, it would sound similar to what Hitler sounded like. And also the promises. And, yeah, Hitler made promises too and never kept them. And how people just ate it all up. And there are many things that bothered me. I will say, for the black people, it was a triumph that one of their own became a president.
Right.
But that was about the only thing. But
right.
Otherwise, yes. And I saw more and more that Christianity, you had to kind of be very careful what you said. Even pastors were threatened. Not too long ago, pastors were threatened if they said anything negative about gays and lesbians and other people, that they could lose their job. It reminded me of what happened to the churches in Germany when the Nazis took over some of the churches. And the pastors in Germany who did not go along with Hitler, and this was the pastor, my pastor over there, who converted my mother and strengthened my faith, he was very bold. And I just found out recently over the Internet, I'm not much with the computer, but a friend of mine up north got it from the computer, that this pastor of mine, early in the game in about 1934, he wrote a letter to Hitler and told him that he is not in favor of what he's doing to the Jewish people, and many of his colleagues were similar. I was amazed that they didn't put him into prison. I mean, the Lord was really watching over him, and I'm grateful because my mother needed him to come to faith. And it was a wonderful day when my mother became a Christian, that she finally then looked at me and she said, how could I have been so stupid and think it was a childish fantasy? She says, I apologize. She said, I said, Mom, that's okay. You just didn't know any better, but don't look back now. I said, just be thankful that you have the Lord in your life now.
Well, amen. That miraculous. There you go. You started off with something bad and you came to something good. You know, always with Yeshua. And that's how it is. But, you know, right, you know, this the war on Christianity in this country is ramping up. I don't know where it's going to lead to, but
it is.
We do
very
need
much
to work.
Like I mentioned to you about my speaking, and they always say, in a country where the Jews are being persecuted, and there's a lot of anti-Semitism growing into this in this country, where the Jews are being persecuted, the Christians always follow right after.
Yeah,
that's true in Germany.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. In fact, I'm going to have Lori Cardoza Moore on a little later, and we're going to be talking about those things. But I'll just let you go at this point. Your book is just so wonderful, and so is your testimony on DVD. Just what parting words, or you just want to say goodbye to the people, or whatever, you can take as long as you
yes,
need.
Yes, and, you know, remember that no matter how tough things get, keep the faith. Don't ever doubt God, even if trouble comes. Keep believing in Him and trusting Him, because God did not promise us a bed of roses. You know, He said, in this world you will have troubles. And that's true. But if you can just keep the faith and trust the Lord and worship Him, and, you know, to young people I often say, you know, you may be laughed at. You may even lose some friends that will reject you because you love Jesus. But don't let that bother you. Keep on loving Christ and keep on trusting.
Amen. Your story is a powerful story of that. Well, dear, thanks for being on with me. I really do appreciate it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Be blessed.
Am I done? Am I?
Oh, yeah. Unless you got something else to say, you can talk some more.
No. I think I said it all.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate you. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was Anita Dickman. And, you know, I didn't want – it's all over my notes, and it's about the website. She's 87 years old. She's 87 years old. And for her, I don't know if it was easy or hard for her to stay on the phone for an hour, but it was hard for me because it seemed like every story that she told, she brought me to tears. And then I would try to talk and I would, you know, emotion. So it's a real story. You need to, I would really get this book, and I'm not trying to sell you a book, but it's a good book to share with others about her faith in Christ, and let alone, you know, Jews, she was in a real problematic place anyway. You got to figure that, number one, so she was in Germany. She's in a time when they hate Jews, but so what does she do? She turns around, and she gets saved by Yeshua. And Jews don't treat each other well, that non-Jews, they don't believe in Christ. They won't treat somebody that, it's one thing to talk to a Christian, but talk to a fellow Jew that has turned to Christ is a hard, you know, so that's hard on that person. And so it's a real story of faith, and you really need to look at it. But you need to look at it as also, there's a... Christianity is under such dire persecution. Just like I was talking about Michelle Obama a while ago, she literally said that. I brought the article up and I read it today, and it'll go out on Stan's program tomorrow. But that's Stan and the Prophecy Club. But she actually telling children around the country to monitor what your mother and dad says, and grandma and grandpa, that if they say something racist, then you should call them on it. And the underlying effect means the next thing they're going to say, well, then you need to report them. You know, this is a nightmare where we're at. And Christianity, though, you have to hold Christianity responsible, because just as she said, well, you know, first they persecuted the Jews, and then, you know, hey, did the Christians stand up for them? You know, that's the point. Jews are being persecuted in this country, but a lot of people are being persecuted in this country. But the point is the coin's flipped. They're saying we're persecuting Muslims, we're not doing it. It says that we're persecuting gays and homosexuals, we're not doing it. They're persecuting believers. Anybody that believes in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is being persecuted. And you know why you may not feel it right now? In some parts of the country, like the Bible Belt, in between the, let's just say in between the mountains, you know, you're doing better. But on the coast, you can't speak about things against gays and so on and so forth. You can get put in jail, and people are being put in jail and standing up against abortion. You know, there is a Holocaust going on with abortionists, but, you know, this is going to continue on. In fact, I was looking at the articles, and Obama has even, you know, with the Bundy standoff, you know what I'm talking about, folks, in Nevada, that Obama was almost sent military troops in against American citizens in that ordeal. He almost did it, and he's talking about doing it. America, wake up. The people are being armed against you. He's going behind the scenes taking guns by how he's making people that have legitimate gun businesses be considered problematic to the banks, or by making them high risk. And so then banks are cutting off bank accounts to people that sell guns online and to other people that just sell guns out of their shop. They don't allow them credit card access. Well, you know well as I do that everything's practically credit card or debit card now. And if you can't do those things and you can only work in cash, then you're going to go out of business pretty much. And so that's where things are headed. One thing that I want to read to you about this. This is, I'm just going to read the whole thing. It says, Olive Trees Ministries Understanding the Times conference that the 2008 campaign of images of Barack Obama with halos around his head and a worship-like adulation from the crowds gave Anita nightmares. The adulation offered by many, that means the worship offered by many to Obama, has been well documented. Now, this is the big part. Broadcast news veteran Barbara Walters admitted recently that many news watchers have thought about people in the media with their worship of Obama. We thought he was going to be, and she said, well, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but that he was going to be the next Messiah. Now, Barbara Walters told that to CNN, Piers Morgan. Now, I'm sure there's still some people out there that they still think he's the next Messiah. Really? That is, I'm not saying Obama in any way, shape, or form is the Antichrist. I do not believe that. And I don't want you to take up guns against him or anybody in the country. But we are in a dangerous place. If we, the people in the church, don't stand up and get a voice, then we're going to be run over. And I think we're too far in the mud to really get out. I really, really do. So, you know, back to this Anita. Anita, really, in the midst of everything, she saw God's love there and was able to survive this Holocaust because of the fact that she was saved. And she put her faith in Yeshua. And she helped others. And she, you know, others were blessed by her presence. Well, folks, pray about it. Again, that's HitlersHell.com, HitlersHell.com. Or go to worldnetdaily.com, worldnetdaily.com. You can get the book or get the and or get the DVD. If you go to WorldNet Daily, I bet you can get it in a package deal. The book has just came out. I got a book a few days before it came out. We were supposed to do this last week, but we did it this week. But get the book. Visit the website. Send them an email. Let them know that you heard it on Mission Watch. That always helps me get good guests on. Anyway, I guess we're at the end of our program. I'm looking at the clock, and so I'm going to ask you, pray about supporting Mission Church. We'd like to finish off this month's bills to get into next, to move into next month without any bills. That would be a blessing. So we need to raise some money for that. So pray about supporting the Mission Church and always, always, always be a blessing to others. You must remember there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember him in the midst of your trouble. Remember his presence. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.